Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the Wendy's Big Show live from the Brat Stop out here in Kenosha. Thanks to the Kenosha Subaru and the Subaru Share the Love event for having us out here. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer is here as well. Gary Ellerson for Badger Impact, a running back in the building. We're going to be joined by Frank Winters as well as Leroy Butler. We got a jam-packed show as we take the baton here for 13 hours of Packers talk as we go head-to-head with 670 The Score and Bears fans here. Fellas, this is outstanding. Now, Stevie, you said people were out here starting to enjoy the party here at like 5 a.m., 7 a.m. Now everybody is fully going here as we kick off at 2. This is going locked and loaded here as Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson for Badger and Packer running back inside the Brat Stop down here in Kenosha. This is your old stomping grounds,
yeah,
though, too.
Yeah, it is. You know, Tim Allen, who does our postgame show for the Brewers, Hot Stove Weekly on Tuesday nights, his band played here numerous times, open for National Country.
Like
the Dixie Chicks played here. Bunch of national country artists have played here at the Brat Stop over the years, and rock and roll artists for that matter. So yeah, been here many a times watching Tim Allen's band rock out here at the Brat Stop, for sure.
Well, I think Brat Bowl 1 is going to surpass any audience for the Tim Allen band. Now, no disrespect to my guy, but this is a heck of an event put on by everybody. And Gary, I'm excited to be in here. Now, you said you were worried a little bit earlier on this week of the fraternization with some Chicago Bears and Chicago Bear fans. How are you feeling so far? Because I do see you rocking and rolling right here. NFL alumni, this is very nice. Embroidered green and
gold.
I'm
flying the flag, bro.
I like that. Good work.
I'm flying the flag.
Somebody
needed to. I've never been to the Brat Stop before. I've never seen Tim Allen. I've never seen him do anything band-related.
You've never went to any of his band gigs, have you?
Huh?
You've never been to one of his band gigs.
No, I've never seen him do anything like that. All I know him just agonizing people all the time on the radio, just starting fights.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's what he's good at.
That's what I know Tim for. But I tell you what, this place is absolutely packed. I just don't understand how people are Bear fans, though. I don't know how that happens. I don't understand.
Well, some people lose the lottery.
I saw
a
joker. I was up in the Wisconsin Dells, and like these people were walking around with like Mitch Trubisky jerseys on. I'm like, are they paying you to wear that Trubisky jersey?
And they
dude?
Lost bets. That's what
I mean.
It was.
Like, why?
Bets,
I mean, right. How could you even buy a? Now I can understand like if it was like Gale Sayers or Walter Payton, you wearing that, but I don't know how you pay to wear a Trubisky jersey. Is anybody walking around here with a Trubisky jersey on?
No, I haven't seen any.
They probably won't admit it. They are. They probably got it covered up. Now, I can understand if you're walking around with a Ditka jersey on. I mean, I can get that. But
Dick Butkus.
Yeah,
even
yeah.
Even an Urlacher.
Yeah, Dick Butkus. I mean, I can get that. But these other jokers, man, good God almighty.
Full effect. Bob, when we're out here in Kenosha, thanks to Kenosha Subaru for the Brat Bowl 1 as we go head-to-head against 670 The Score, as well as we get you ready for Packers and Bears. Joining us now up here at the table, somebody that's played in these rivalries and these games for quite some time, knows all about the conversations that we've had here and we're having, and Bears fans and Packer fans alike out here are having. Frank Winters joining us, Super Bowl champion for your Green Bay Packers. Frank, appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys, for having me here.
This is an awesome event and an awesome time to be here as well. Now, you've been around this rivalry as long as anybody. Gary was
no,
a little
I
bit.
I wanted to break it down. It's the first time I ever seen Frank drink water.
Are we sure that's water?
Just to start.
Yeah. All right, first time you
Well, what are you drinking?
Huh?
What are you drinking?
Don't worry about it. Okay. First time I ever seen Frank drink water, just saying. But go ahead.
Well, it is early, though.
Yeah, it is.
Early. So that's understandably so. Yeah. Now, Frank, for you, Bears, Packers, where does this start and finish for you in knowing what these games turn into be?
Well, you know, it is the oldest rivalry in the NFL. It's truly remarkable. competition rivalry, and it's a close state rival there. You know, I just drove up here from Chicago, and it's took me about an hour to get here, and I was at the Erie Cafe in Chicago having some lunch with some buddies that came up here. So Gary knows where that's at, but no, it's truly a remarkable rivalry. I mean, it goes back forever, and both teams are still in the hunt for the playoffs. I mean, the Packers pretty much are in, I think, but the Bears got a win to get in, and so they're going to be ready to play on Sunday.
What do you see when you look at this Packers team now in 2019?
Well, it's different. Watching the game today compared to, you know, playing it, you know, 20 years ago, it is a different game. The rules are there to protect the players. In my opinion, it's a little different. I don't think, you know, this you don't see the fundamentals as you do, you know, as you did 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I mean, it's the tackling is sometimes it's tough to watch with the penalties and everything. But they're a talented team. They have a lot of talent. They I think they got to play better than they have in the last week to be successful. I mean, you know, when you play teams that are not very good, and then you play a team like the Bears, they're going to come in and they're going to be ready to go, and it's a big rival. So hopefully they play better, and you know, they get a win on Sunday.
What do you make of this offense, Frank? I mean, it's kind of herky jerky. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just can't put my finger on like what they're trying to do. Like, is it LaFleur's offense? Is it McCarthy's offense? Is it Rodgers' offense? It seems to be all over the place to me.
It is. It's like I said, it's tough to watch at times. I mean, you look at last week's game, they get the ball the first two drives, they score touchdowns, or the first two to three drives. And then it's like it looks like they haven't practiced together in 3 months. It's tough to watch. I mean, I think if they could run the ball and they let Aaron do the things he does best, his play action, I think they're a good team. But when it's tough to watch when it's third and 10 or third and 12, and then you see he's throwing a 2 yard check down pass.
Yeah.
I mean, you see that through the league today. There's very few teams that take their shots down the field, man. When you have those chances, you got to make them work. But it is, like you said, it's a mix of a bunch of different offenses. And they got some talented players, but you got to remember they pay those guys in the line of scrimmage too.
But you guys, you know, when you played on with Mike Holmgren, though, that West Coast offense, though, it was kind of based off of, though, maybe a short passing game. I mean, you guys took your shots, but it was more about those, you know, those yak yards, those yards after catch. I mean, that was very prominent back when you played, though.
It was.
Kind of
I mean, you still see it today. I mean, guys make big plays, and, you know, they catch you. How many times you see in the NFL on Sunday, you see a 3 yard slant turn into like 60 yards. And, you know, and it's tough when you watch sometimes. When you play offensive line, you look at it from behind Aaron Rodgers. Sometimes you look and it's like there's no separation.
Right.
I mean, they got some receivers. It's like the Velcro to the defensive backs. And so. You know, it's their job to get open. It's Aaron's job to, you know, throw to get him the ball, and it's the offensive line's job to protect everybody.
What about that offensive line? We have David Bakhtiari on every Tuesday at 4:35, and he's always a hoot and always fun to talk with. But you hear a lot of people around the league saying, hey, Packers got number one offensive line, and people want to throw some blame at Aaron Rodgers for holding on to the ball too long. What have you made from the Packers offensive line this year?
I mean, they got some talented players. I mean, they make a lot of money.
Frank means they make a lot of money. Like
208.
Like
208.
You might be mad.
They do have some good linemen, but you got to remember they pay those guys on the other side of the ball, and they got to protect Rodgers. I mean, you know, does Rodgers hold the ball too long? Maybe, but I mean, you know, I mean,
let's just say yeah, he's
trying to make things happen, and I think, you know, on any given Sunday, if Rodgers is playing well, they got a chance to win. But they do have a good offense line. I mean, they're getting older, and you know, Brian's mm-hmm. getting a little older and stuff like that. It's different. I mean, it's a different game, so you just got to adapt to it, and you got to live with the
well. And the quarterback play is a little bit different from when you say Aaron holds onto the ball a little bit too long, he doesn't want to throw any picks. You played with a guy that was definitely open to throwing some people open in Brett Favre.
True. I mean, he threw more touchdowns, I think, in his interceptions as he did his touchdowns. And we would always joke on, you know, on Monday because, you know, we would have this thing called the cover drill. So that means when Brett would throw the ball, he would, you know, Holmgren would yell cover. And we have dispersed into our lanes and stuff because there was, you know, a chance that Favre would throw a pick. And sometimes you pay for it, you know. Sometimes you get a, you know, you can't do it anymore. But back in the day, you used to get hit in the ear hole and you'd be laid out. Where today, I think you get fined and you get a penalty for 15
minutes.
You know,
from that perspective, everybody kind of bangs on Aaron Rodgers a little bit because he doesn't want to be like Brett. He don't want to throw all those interceptions. He wants to play it more safe. He wants to have that great quarterback rating, all that stuff. Do you think that works against him as a quarterback by being as safe as he is with the football?
I won't say it works against him. I mean, he knows you got to take your shots. I mean, if you know he's taking his shots throughout the years, but you have to throw the ball downfield. And I think if you're worrying about that, I don't think that comes into play. But you never know. I mean, you have to ask Aaron that.
Right.
But I mean, it shouldn't come into play. You know, you should be out there trying your best. And that's one thing about Favre. You know, they call him the gunslinger or something. He go out there and he. You know, you could be up by 30 or down by 30. And, you know, I mean, he's still checking the ball.
Right.
You know, I remember Holmgren used to call run and play. We'd be down by 20-some points, and he wanted to get the game over. And if there's Favre audible into, like, a pass play, we're like, no, just run the ball. Let's get out of here.
Chill out here, and we'll get out of here.
Yeah.
Super Bowl champion Frank Witter sitting with us at the table. We're down here at the Broad Stop in Kenosha. Thanks to Kenosha Subaru for putting on Broad Bowl 1. Now, Frank, when – you guys won in 96 and obviously 97. 96, the team was best offense, best defense, best special teams, an all-around collection. So you see teams like that take it off the sheet, right? It's pretty clear that there's not that one team in football this year. Can you allude to what it can be like in the locker room that can take maybe a team that's not top defense, top offense, top special teams, and get them to a place in deep into the playoffs in a run like that?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Packers. I mean, talent-wise, they're probably the most talented team in the NFL. But you got to look at it. They have Aaron Rodgers. You know, in my mind, he's probably, you know, probably one of the probably two best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's a guy that's proven he can win, you know, week in and week out, you know, year in and year out. And, you know, at this time of year, I mean, Gary could attest to this. I mean, you need some breaks. You got to stay healthy. And you need the ball, you know, you need the ball to drop in your hands once in a while. You know, like guys, teams that gets successful, you could lose on a bad call, a bad play, or a fumble that probably wasn't a fumble. So you need the breaks. And the teams that are healthy at the end of the year use teams that are most successful.
And then sometimes they change rules for you if a bad call goes your way.
True.
Nowadays.
I don't know if you guys watched the Patriots game last week.
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
Man, it was bad. I mean, I'm not even a Patriots fan. I feel sorry. I feel sorry for Belichick.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see that much, but... Yeah. Yeah, it's mind-boggling to watch that and see that happen in today's game.
Go ahead.
I think more of the rules have changed. I think a lot of referees are now probably a little bit on edge. I mean, I think they're not free to call the game the way they normally would call it back when we were playing. I mean, there's always that eye in the sky, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it today. I mean, they're graded. I mean, I know they're still not full-time officials and stuff, but I mean, some of the calls and the way they call the games today, especially with all the new rule changes with these, I watched the game on Sunday. I can't remember which game it was, and you talk about a defenseless, you know, receiver. Well,
yeah.
I mean, the defensive back is just trying to make a play. You know, he's not trying to kill the guy. He's just trying to make a play on the ball, and it's a penalty. So it is a different game today.
Well, and also training camp is different. Now, that's my favorite thing to talk about with guys like you and Gary and Leroy played a little bit long ago. You look at training camp nowadays, they're getting – it's a Thursday, guys. I think we need to give them a day off. How many days off are you getting during camp?
Never. We twice a day we had practice and full pads. And I was up there this year, and I went up for training camp, and they have music now on the sidelines.
Yeah, can you see that?
Music?
And they're dancing?
Dancing, and it's a different game, yeah. Definitely different.
How often do you get back?
I usually go up. This year I've been up there quite a bit. I've been up there. I'm actually going to a game on Sunday. So,
perfect.
Yeah, well, this will be my third or fourth time this year.
Okay.
You know, we go back for the alumni event, I think it's the first home game. And then I went up there with took my daughter up there a couple weeks ago against Carolina. And this will be my third time this year. So it's good to go back. It's a lot of fun. It's, heard it's supposed to be cold, but at least we'll be inside.
That always works out a little bit better, huh? The alumni suite makes it a little bit better.
And I won't be drinking water either.
Frank Litters joining us here down in Kenosha at the Broad Stop Broad Bowl 1. You can join Steve Sparky Pfeiffer this weekend at the Mecca for his football experience parties. We'll be back after this more with the Super Bowl champion. But first, Stevie, what else can people be winning at the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill this weekend?
Yeah, that's right. Football experience party at the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill. Jerry Kramer signed mini helmet to be given away this week, courtesy of Waukesha Sports Cards. Plus, we have a Packer Bears birdhouse. Packers on one side, Bears on the other side. It's a pretty big birdhouse. 30-40 pounds. It's a big birdhouse. All courtesy of Waukesha Sports Cards. Got to play our tic-tac-toe cards in order to have a chance of those. Prizes courtesy of Miller Lite throughout the game, too. And don't forget the centerpiece of the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill. It's three levels to begin with. And a 42-foot-wide ultra-high definition screen TV surrounded by nine more big screen TVs around it. The seating, phenomenal. Third level, luxury box to seat 6 to 8 people. A whole other bar area on the third floor. Second floor, mezzanine seating. It's just you and the wall of TVs. First floor is seating all over the place down there, too. Call ahead. Make your reservations for Green Bay and Chicago football experience party coming up on Sunday. Their menu created by a team of talented chefs that elevate sports bar fare to a whole new level. It is amazing. Located in the Deer District across from the Fiserv Forum. Book your holiday parties now. Go to the Mecca, MKE.com.
It's the Wendy's Big Show live from the Brat Stop in Kenosha. We have Frank Winters, the Super Bowl champion, joining us now. You can join us. We're live out here until 6 right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You're listening to Brat Bowl 1, broadcasting live from the Brat Stop in Kenosha. It's the Wendy's Big Show on The Fan.
Wendy's Big Show live out here at the Brat Stop in Kenosha. Brat Bowl 1, I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, alongside Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back here, as well as Super Bowl champion and the Super Bowl 31 team. Frank Winters joining us here out live. We'll also be joined by Leroy Butler, Leap 36, coming around 3 o'clock. There's plenty of room for it. Well, I shouldn't say plenty of room for it. There's room for you, but it's a packed house in here. So come on in. People started this party at 7 a.m.
More early. Packer fans. There's Bear fans everywhere. It's like the whole state of Illinois took the day off to come up here.
See, so, I disagree. I see a lot of green and gold. I mean, I see a little bit of orange and blue, but I'm seeing a lot of,
I see a lot
of green and gold still.
I don't know, but
Bears crap everywhere.
But feel like Bear fans, they got a scowl on their face. What are they mad? What are you guys mad about?
You not follow their franchise?
They don't look happy. What's, you guys okay? Bear. I mean, we're at a bar. We're drinking.
Think about this.
Sadly,
why are you guys? I mean, these guys from the score, they walk around out there all uptight. Their panties in a bunch. I mean, what's wrong with these people around here, man?
Hey, you are in full Bear week.
What's going on, man? Who's this guy right here looking?
That's Ryan. Come on, give Ryan some love.
Ryan,
he's
you okay,
he's
dude?
Good. He's a good dude. He's hanging out. He's not any Bears stuff. He's got his corporate khakis on. He's doing a job.
These guys, man.
Gary, it's not that hard to figure out.
What?
Think about it. Bulls suck. Cubs spent a lot of money and got nothing for it. And the Bears have been putrid for years. Wouldn't you be mad?
Yeah, I probably would be mad.
All right, then.
Yeah. They got good-looking girls in Chicago, though, right, Frank?
Oh, they do.
Well, and also January 1st is coming soon enough, so I think people in Illinois will be all good.
Yeah.
Frank Winters joining
spoken.
Us here down at the Broad Stop.
Smoking the prophets.
In Kenosha. Yeah, oh, yeah, that's for sure. Now, Frank, want to talk a little bit more about that run you guys had back in 96, number 52 in the Super Bowl champion with us here at the Broad Stop. When was the moment you guys knew that first time in 96 that you had a team that was going to be reckoned with deep into the playoffs?
Well, you know, that year I think we started off, I think we were undefeated for a while. We had a good start. We, you know, if you recall the previous couple of years, we've gone down in Dallas and we got a butt kicked in the championship games. And I think, you know, we felt that to take that next step, I think we had the opportunity to play the games at home in Green Bay. And that really benefited us playing up there in the cold in January. We had a good run, and then I think we went to Dallas on Thanksgiving Day, and we got our ass kicked. And then we went to Kansas City, and we got beat pretty bad, too. And I think right after that, I never forget, we came in the locker room. I think Ken Ruckus said he retired, but I think he quit. Bruce Wilkinson came in and stepped in and, did a great job. And, you know, we got back on track and had a couple of games. And I think when we knew we were the number one seed, it was going to be tough to beat us in Green Bay.
And that run was so impressive, too, when you think about those games at Lambeau in the mud against the Niners first off. And one of my favorite moments from that one is the kickoff after the second half.
Yeah, I think I think Desmond didn't come out and Andre Rison went back there. And I think he fumbled it. He did fumble it, didn't he?
Yeah, let it roll around for a little bit.
That was a horrible game.
They got Mike going, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Mike had a short fuse, and things didn't go well. You knew about it, you know. But, you know, I think they got the kickoff. They fumbled. They recovered the fumble, I think. And defense, you know, only allowed 3 points. And the conditions were horrible. We knew he had to run the ball. But like we said, I mean, it wasn't a cold day. It was about 30 degrees. If it snowed, it would have been probably a lot better. But, I mean, we went out there and we played well as a team. And knowing that we had the first round bye, and, you know, I don't know what the final score was, but I know we won pretty good. And then we knew when we played Carolina, we knew we weren't going to be stopped.
Now, this team is in contention for that first round bye. How important is that at this point in the season?
I think it's really important. I think it gives you an extra week to rest up. They have a tough schedule. They play the Bears, and then they go to Minnesota. It's going to be tough, but, I mean, it can be done. And like you said, I mean, I don't know what the stats are, but teams that have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, it sure goes a long way. Especially in January, if it's, 20 degrees, it could help a lot.
You know, Frankie, you looking at that team, and most people now talk about these RPOs and audibling and all that. How much of that did you guys do with Brett? Because you had to be right in the center there, obviously. But, did you guys do a lot of that? How did that system work on the mic and with you and Brett?
I mean, there were audibles, but there wasn't – it ain't like today.
You have check with means?
Check with me. You do check with me's.
So tell them what check with means are.
Check with me is, the quarterback will give you – he'll give you two plays in the huddle. And say if he calls, 98 handoff solid – and check with me if the strong safety would be up, we would run a blast. We would run the weak side play and stuff like that. And then it would give us two options in the huddle. He would have a running play and a passing play. And usually our live color was black. So if he said black, he would call out the play and we would run that play. Teams today, you see a lot today with Aaron Rodgers. He has a lot of capability of audible in his own plays and stuff. And we did it, but it wasn't like they do today. And it's tough. You watch the Packers, and it seems like every play they're getting off like 1 second.
And that's what it feels like to me, though, Frank. We talk about how many do you guys have? 15 plays scripted, 20?
The first 15 we would script, and then right. I mean, you go in with probably 8 or 9 basic running plays,
right.
Maybe a trick play. Today, Holmgren was great. He used to say, if we don't run it in practice, we're not going to run it in the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Understandably so.
I never forget one time he admitted that he ran a short yardage play that we didn't run all week in practice, and it was in the game. It was horrible.
It looked bad.
And he said that he'll never do it again. But, You look at these. You ever see these quarterback or the offensive play callers? I mean, they have the script. I mean, there's like 1,400 plays on it.
Yeah, right, right.
And then everybody's got wristbands because nobody knows what they're doing.
Right.
So it is what it is today. That's the way they do it. But I mean, no, we didn't audible that much. We ran our plays and we stayed with them.
It was a lot of we're going to do what we do best and try to stop.
Yeah. I mean, in basically the NFLs, if you could block and tackle, you're going to win most of the games,
Right.
And that's what it comes down to.
When you talk about that Packers team back there, 96, 97, versus this Packers team today, we hear Aaron Rodgers talk a lot about how he's having so much fun this year. Maybe mm-hmm. he wasn't having as much fun in the previous couple of years, and how great team chemistry is. There's a bunch of younger guys on this team, right? Kind of rejuvenate them a little bit. That team, when you guys were on your run, what was chemistry like in that locker room that year?
I mean, it was great. I mean, we had a lot of fun together. I mean, Garrity could test this. I mean, there's nothing like a locker room. I mean, it's fun going to work, And you got to realize Green Bay was a small town. It's a lot smaller than it is today back then. But, I would never forget, on Thursday night, we go to offensive line dinner. Then we meet with the defense line. We go out and have a few beers afterwards and stuff like that. So we did everything together because we hung out together. I think in winning solves a lot of those problems.
Sure.
I mean, if if you're 3-10, it ain't too fun going to work on Wednesday, except on Tuesday when you get paid, you know. But other than that, I mean, those guys, you know, they're winning now, and it's fun, and that's what you need to do to have fun. And you look at most, I'm sure Cincinnati's not saying the same thing, you know.
No.
But when you're winning, it solves a lot of problems.
Talking with the Super Bowl champion Frank Winters here at the Brat Stop in Kenosha. You can join us as well just off of I-94 East, where you find us right here at the Brat Stop off Highway 50. So in that season as well, as you guys did maneuver through, and we were talking with Gilbert a couple of days ago. He was out at our toy drive. And
Real quick, did you have to block Gilbert?
In practice.
Yeah. Practice I did, yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
How was
that? But it was like the brother-in-law thing, you know. Oh. He went his drills and we went our drills.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So.
That's how that goes.
Yeah, that's how it goes with practice.
Was there one pop that got you guys into the brother-in-law status, or?
Well, yeah, because you know, Gilbert was like, you know, we ain't playing the Packers this week, you know. And, you know, and that's just the way it was. I mean, it was, you know, some guys, you know, and we had a very veteran group, so, you know, we knew how to win, we knew how to practice, and. So that benefited a lot.
Because that was a good defensive line.
I mean, you think
about Sean Jones, mm-hmm. Reggie.
Salad. I mean, they call Sean Jones, salad.
Salad,
because he never practiced. They used to give a salad award.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Used to come out with, like, his shoes weren't even tied. He have a cell phone in the socks. I mean, it was crazy, you know. He drove home with him crazy, but,
I'm sure he did. Well, he was different, though.
Yeah, he was different.
You got to have one of those guys, right? You got to have one. And then you had Wayne Simmons at one point in there. I mean,
that's the difference.
Yeah,
crazy Wayne. And then you know, you had Santana and
That Sean was tough to block. I mean,
they were good. I think the year we won the Super Bowl, they were number one defense.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. Yep.
And we were beat up at linebacker because I remember they brought in Ron Cox from the Bears. Kuntz got hurt. We got beat up at the end there. But you know, the guys that came in didn't miss a beat, and you know, we played well. And it all starts with, you know, the great leadership at the up front with, you know, Reggie and those guys. You know, they had a good group of leaders.
How was Reggie at practice?
Reggie was the best. I mean, he was a lot of fun. He was the consummate, consummate professional. Everybody knew Reggie. I mean, it was like whatever Reggie wanted to do, he would do, you know. And, I mean, how could you argue with Reggie, you know? You weren't going to win that battle, but he was.
You learned that early.
Oh yeah, you're not going to win that. I mean, one thing you learned early: you never cursed at Reggie, or didn't.
Well, he had God on his side, so you weren't winning that fight.
Yeah, didn't use God's name in vain because he'd be paying for the next play.
Yeah,
I never forget. We had John Jerkovic was on our team, and I'm good friends with Yurko down in Chicago, and his brother Mirko signed with the Packers.
Yeah,
and he used the F word at Reggie, and. The F word and God in the same sentence. The next play, he took Mirko and threw Mirko about 10 yards in the backfield. And a huge rumble existed after that. And the only person that wasn't in the fight was John Yurkovic. He's like, I am not stepping in there. Not stepping in there. But, yeah, I mean, you knew when not to push your buttons with Reggie.
Have you ever seen somebody do what Reggie did, just take the one arm and throw people like he used to?
You know what? It was crazy. I mean, his strength, Reggie, for as big as he was, I mean, Reggie was not a big weightlifting guy. He never saw him in a weight, but he was all about leverage and stuff. And, he used it to his advantage. I mean, most people that see Reggie, he's pretty impressive. I mean, he was 6'4", and, I mean, he was 315, but he was, like, solid, you know?
Well, great feet, too.
Yeah, he was just a specimen.
Yeah.
And, but he had fun. I mean, he made it fun. I mean, he laughed. I mean, he would imitate Favre. I mean, he would be laughing, and it was just so funny. And, you know, he brought so much enlightenment to the team that he put everybody at ease and made everybody play well.
Who do you all keep in touch with from that 96 team?
We still all see a lot. I mean, this year at the alumni game, you know, it was good. We see Brett was up there, and I see Shamir a lot, Marco. It's good to see, like, Earl Dotson. He's kind of getting back into the fold. He's spending more time in Wisconsin, which is good because Earl's a great guy. I love Earl. And he's a great player. I think he should be in the Pack Hall of Fame. And, any time on any Sunday, like on Sunday when I go back for the Bears game, who knows who I'm going to run into. You know, Santana, Gilbert's up there a lot. And I saw, last time I was up there, I saw Sean Jones and stuff like that. But, It's truly remarkable. It's great to see the guys when we're back.
You know, there's
there.
there's some legendary stories about, you know, the three amigos, you know, you three guys, you know, in Milwaukee and doing. I mean, there are some things out there that I heard you guys used to mess around with in Milwaukee.
We're not satellite radio. Tear it up a little bit.
Did you guys really go after like they said you did, or is that kind of a fictional kind of a deal?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's, you know, they have
you, Chimura, and Brett, obviously.
Well, I said we had
three amigos. What was it?
Yeah, three amigos. We had our fun.
Who gave you that name?
We did a commercial one time for Fox, and I think it was like a three amigo commercial we did, and it just kind of stuck, and they started calling us it, and you know, we partake in a lot of drinking nights in Milwaukee, and one good thing about it is that they didn't have cell phones like they do today.
Yeah, you're right.
And social media.
So out of that group, who did you have to pull back? Were you the leader? Okay, now we're done. Let's go. It's over. Who was the leader of that? Like we're it's over.
Take
we're
a
on
good
the
long
edge.
Step,
we got to go. We got to go now.
I'll probably take the credit for it because I think I was the most reasonable of both of those guys. But it was funny because it wasn't just us. We would go down to Milwaukee and we could look across like a restaurant or a bar and we see like a couple of packer plays down there. So we on Friday night we would go down and have some drinks and have dinner and stuff like that, and then we would have a driver take us home on Friday night after practice
guy.
And stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Smart guy.
So.
Smart guys.
But no, it was fun, but it was, yeah, today I don't think you get away with that today.
No,
not today.
Well, ask Paul Hornung because they couldn't get away with what they did today either. I mean, they were worse than what
you
guys
were. Oh, they were. They were worse, yeah.
Come on.
I mean, it's funny. We go to the games, people are like, where did the Packer players hang out? I'm like, I don't know.
They don't go out anymore.
They don't go out. And no. I'm sure a lot of it's because of social media and cell phones, you know?
Right.
No, it's completely changed that. It's completely changed. And that, I mean, you're talking about the locker room and atmosphere. How much of those conversations that you guys had outside of the locker room, and that's where the real companionship comes in.
Yeah, I mean, it's Gary could attest to this. I mean, the friendships that you form during your playing days, it's, you know, you see, especially in Green Bay, like I said, because we did everything together. We see each other up here in the summer playing golf events for charities and stuff. We all partake in the same thing. So it is awesome, and it's good to see those guys because, you know, you've been through a lot with them. You've been through some tough losses, and you've been through some great wins. And, so I think, you know, in the end, you know, you truly like it's, you know, it's I kind of compare it to like somebody that's gone to war, like in the military, that these guys, they have each other's backs. And, you know, you're just trying to protect each other and be successful while you do it.
So what have you been up to now, Frank?
Well, you know, I dab a little bit of everything. I have I've kind of gotten out of the restaurant business. I have a couple bars still back east, and then I have I have a manufacturing plant over here in Wisconsin, Sharon, Wisconsin, that I'm part of with a couple of guys from Milwaukee, Madison. And then I'm involved in some technology companies. But I also work for the Legends community for the NFL now. So there's like 24 of us. We have – my region is this region, like which is the Central North. I'm a Central North coordinator. I work under John Randall. And me, Orlando Pace, and Marty Moore, and John, this is our region. We have seven teams in this area, and we kind of go out to these different teams and have luncheons and explain to them the benefits that are offered to the former players through the NFL, either with regards to pensions, health care, you know, anything that's available for these guys. So it's pretty good, and I'm pretty excited to do it.
Are you guys lacking still in areas that you'd want to see improved?
Well, you know, I think there is a lot out there the NFL is offering to players right now.
They don't know exists.
They don't know exists. I think the biggest thing right now, the biggest question that we hear a lot about is the pre-93 pension guys.
Yeah.
Most people know in 2000, next year is the last year for the CBA, so they're actually in negotiations right now talking. I don't know the exact answer, but I think there will be an extension before the season ends next year, and it seems to be that there's going to be some significant improvements with regards to
the
pensions, which is good for the pre-93 guys.
That'd be you, Gary, right?
Well, I'd be pre-93.
Yeah, you're pre-93.
That'd
be
me, too.
Yeah.
I get 6 years, and so I'll be really
look
happy.
At you. Nice.
Yeah. So I'll be really happy.
Well, because I'll tell you what, I listen today. I go to the NFL league meetings and stuff, and I go to these meetings, and I see what these guys are making today, and it's like, man.
Right. We're about 15 years old. We're too late.
Look at the baseball contracts they're signing.
But that's why a lot of these guys now, too, you see a lot of these guys retiring early.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of these guys, after 3-4 years, they're done. I mean, they can afford to do it. I mean, back when we played, you could.
Yeah, you're making $65,000.
Right. If you're a free agent or if you got drafted in the 8th, 9th, 10th round, something down in there, you couldn't do it after 3-4 years.
I know. People, I remember my rookie year was in 87. We went on strike, and I think I made $48,000 was my salary. People like, man, so how many years did you make over $1 million? I'm like, nah,
never.
That didn't happen. Not in my day, you know. But, you know, like guys say, like the center for the Packers, I mean, Corey, I'm glad for him. He makes almost $9 million a year.
Right.
So you play two contracts and you make $60 million. I mean, after taxes, you're good.
You're set. Your kids
if you
are
do
set.
It right,
kids,
I would think you, I think you'd be set. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
You'd be on easy street, as I would say.
Yeah. How involved were you in the union when you were playing?
I was asked to be a union rep. I didn't really partake it because it involved a lot of time in the offseason and stuff. But I mean, I helped out and stuff like that. It's good because, you know, like when I played and even before when Gary played too, the things that are offered to these guys today we didn't have. You know, they have these health HRA health retirement accounts that they pay for their insurance when they're done. I was very fortunate. I got to have like 9 years of my 401k, and then I was part of some of the NUI pension stuff they had. But these guys today, I mean, they make, when they retire at 55, there's a big pot of money for them when they're done and stuff. So, but hopefully they could pass some of that money on from these young guys onto the older guys, and hopefully we'll find out here pretty soon.
It's a lot more fun when you can share the wealth and everybody can enjoy it, right?
Yeah, there was, I was reading an article the other day Jim Brown wrote, talked about, it was on the Professional Football Retired Association webpage, and it talks about how the NFL owners and the players would have to give up like 1% of the total revenue to kind of like bring the pre-93 player guys up to like where the guys are at today.
Right.
Wow.
Less than 1%. So both sides would be giving up 0.5%, which is truly remarkable, you know?
It's incredible. It's incredible just to see how that money can go and just be redistributed that quickly.
Well, they're talking next year $200 million for the salary cap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gone up 43% since 2015, the salary cap. And it's only going to get better.
Well, it's only getting bigger, yeah.
Well, it's a big money maker. I mean, if you look at the three major sports, I mean, the NFL is where it's at. I mean, we all thought it was going to die, you know, when the concussions and all that stuff. But it's not going anywhere.
No. There's too much money with the revenue. I mean, I think it's $15 billion a year they're making.
Easily.
It's
just must-see TV every single weekend. People can't wait to see it. Quickly,
especially if you live in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, soon enough, Illinois, Indiana, and, I mean, 15, 20 years we'll have to wait until it comes to Wisconsin. But, Frankie, before we let you get going here, Leroy Butler going to stop in here. He's with us each and every day. Semifinalist for the Hall of Fame. You campaign a little bit for your guy, Leap 36, why he should be in there in Canton?
Oh, I think Leroy definitely deserving of it. You know, it's, as anybody knows, I think it's more of a publicity thing.
It is.
And you know, sometimes when you play in a small market, that kind of hurts you. But Leroy's definitely deserving to be in there, you know, especially some of the guys that I see in there. It's, you know, it's a matter of, you know, how they want to vote for you. I mean, you look at a guy like Jerry Kramer. He finally got in, like, what, 2 years ago? And
yeah.
I mean, now
Should
he's on
a
the.
Long time.
Now he's on. If you look at this, I think it comes out. Tonight's Friday.
Yeah.
The NFL 100 greatest plays of all time. He's a finalist as an offensive lineman, and he's the guy who just got in the Hall of Fame. So,
yeah.
It's all about, you know, kissing behind and stuff like that. But Leroy's very well deserving of it, and you know, hopefully someday he'll get to enjoy that honor and stuff, and because he's well deserving of it.
And then we can all enjoy it and have a little bit more fun like you guys used to in Milwaukee.
Oh, but then he'd be charging more for autographs.
Yeah, that's true.
Somebody said that when you make the Hall of Fame, your autograph goes up like triple. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, don't tell Leap. It'll be quadruple.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
He's going to pull a juice on it.
He'll be giving you that cookbook with an autograph and charging 80.
Yeah.
That's Frank Winters, Frank Bag of Donuts with us, number 52, the Super Bowl champion, joining us down here at the Broad Stop. Frank, really appreciate it, man.
Thank you very much for having me. Thanks, guys.
We'll be back right after this. The Milwaukee Brewers add to their starting pitching depth and a lot more football conversation here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You're listening to Broad Bowl 1, broadcasting live from the Broad Stop in Kenosha. It's the Wendy's Big Show on The Fan.
1057 FM, the Fan, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. This is the Wendy's Big Show live out here at the Brat Stop in Kenosha. Thanks to Kenosha Subaru and the Subaru Share the Love event. Talking Bears, Packers. We just had Super Bowl champion Frank Winters with us right here. That was a lot of fun. And just the knowledge and the money conversation is really what I like out of Frank Winter. That is open and honesty about what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And now let's talk about that. If we're going to say how much money has gone up, the Milwaukee Brewers just shell out a little bit more money, not necessarily the money that people expected, but they added their starting pitching inventory, as Craig Counsell liked to say. Brett Anderson, left-handed starter, in the mix for about $5 million.
Yeah, just try to catch lightning in a bottle again. That's what we do.
Career high 13 wins last year.
Yeah, ERA just under 4. Yeah, again, it's not that much money. He's got a couple million in incentives to probably get that bad boy up to about 7.5 or $8 million. Does it do anything to get people to go buy tickets or buy jerseys? No. But as Richard Justice pointed out on MLB.com, when talking about the Brewers, this is what he wrote. One of MLB's smallest front offices added again. General manager David Stearns has cut ties with 14 of 25 players from the NL wildcard game, and his signing of free agent pitcher Josh Lindblom is just a start. Two things seem certain. Stearns will still find under-the-radar free agents who will contribute, and the Brewers will be in contention as usual. From Richard Justice.
That's the model. That's their business model.
That's the national viewpoint of who cares what they do. They'll figure out a way to be contending for a playoff spot before this is all said and done.
Now, in most years, I think that would give people confidence in the team. At this point, it just seems like that is just adding more negative viewpoints to Brewers fans because they can't spend the money. Just can't. There you go. You got more people saying you just can't spend it. They haven't been able to spend this for all 50 years of the franchise's history.
No, that's not true. Last year, look, if you're saying in comparison to the Red Sox and Yankees,
that's what I'm saying.
Right.
Yes.
But, I mean, they have seen their payroll gradually go up and up and up. When they had Open Miller Park, they had their highest record payroll ever of, like, $52 million. Their big signing was Jeffrey Hammonds, who couldn't stay healthy a season in Colorado, and they gave him, like, $7 million a year, something stupid like that. And what happened? He got hurt while he was in Milwaukee. It was a complete bust. In, what was it, year two or year three of Miller Park, it was a ghost town. Nobody was there. And people were beside themselves because what was promised to Brewer fans from Bud Selig was, hey, if you build this park, we'll be able to contend year in and year out. It didn't happen then. Why? Because you didn't have smart baseball people, right? Not like you have now. Now you have smart baseball people. Your payroll has almost tripled up to about $125 million a year. Have you closed the gap that much? Maybe not. But you've closed the gap on your front office being as smart or smarter than a lot of other front offices in baseball. And when you're in this size market, Gary, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just got to wait and see and be patient and see how it shakes out. I mean, we've never seen anything like it before and how they're trying to win it.
No doubt.
And so far, I mean, the track record has been good with David Stearns and what they're trying to do. So you just gotta give it time. I know nobody wants to hear that, but their problem, I think, is that contract of Yelich is just looming large over the franchise.
And they're waiting and trying to figure out a way that they can do it.
And they want to keep him. And I think so. Along the way, and we talked to him, along the way, I think that's what they're trying to do is make a plan for Yelich and make a pitch for him that they can afford to keep him here and then try to build a team around him that way. So when you're doing it like that, you're just going to have to be patient and see what they can get and trust them.
It's tough, but in businesses, you're going to have to make sacrifices, especially when you have, I don't want to say a fixed budget to work with, but it is. It's somewhat fixed and somewhat
it is
capped at where you can go. I mean, we were just talking to Frank Winters, and I know it's a different sport, and the NFL is king, but the way that pro sports have just increased exponentially in their worth across the country with media rights, television rights, but you're also seeing it, guys, that all your local television money you get to keep, right? The national television money, that gets dispersed around in revenue sharing. The kind of money that's going to be doled out in the top 10, 15 markets, we're looking right here at a Chicago radio station, the kind of money that's going to be doled out there and that you're going to be able to pay for 15, 20 Cubs games or White Sox games is just not going to be comparable to what you have in Milwaukee. It's just because of the climate you live in.
No, I don't disagree with you on that. And it's, you know, kind of where we ended up living, I guess, whether you moved here because of your job or you grew up here because your parents were here.
Well, it's not, I don't know that it's necessarily a bad thing. I don't know why it has to be a bad thing.
I think if you're a Brewers fan, it is a bad thing because, again, you can't expect to compete at a high level year in and year out.
No.
If you have that payroll, you're damn right you better expect to compete if your payroll is $300 million like the Dodgers or Red Sox or Yankees. You've got to have one of the smartest front offices in baseball, and then you got to have a lot of luck in order for everything to work out at the same time. You got to have great health. You got to have a couple guys have career years. Everything's got to work. When you have all that additional money to play with, you can miss on guys and still get it.
Not even that. You got to have good coaching, too.
That, too.
Because I think, you know, I said this before. I think if you look at, hate to bring the Badgers into this, but they operate on the same situation. They're
totally
not going to have as many players as Ohio State, so they got to be able to coach those guys up. They got to be able to keep them for 5 years. Their coach, and listen, there ain't no doubt in my mind that Paul Chris is working harder than Urban Meyer or Nick Saban or Dabo and them Jones.
Right.
There's no doubt in my mind. That's why, who's the basketball coach that fell out on the side, on the court, Dick Bennett. I mean, that coaching like that is stressful. I mean, I said this one time before. Last time I think they played Ohio State, not this time. Urban Meyer threw a flat pass, just a pass over there. It's like third and whatever. Then it was second or whatever. He was just trying to get enough to get a first down.
Freshman J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah. Well, no, this was just one kid. It was number 21. So
He
just threw it over. He just threw it. It was a Big Ten championship. Just threw it over in the flat. Just trying to get enough to get a first down. That joke will take you for 80. That ain't coaching.
Yeah, that's just talent.
My guy's better than yours.
My guy better than
yours. So you're right. With the Brewers, they're in it. They work on the same situation, the same umbrellas. They got to go in and coach them up. I think they have, and your coach has got to be to buy into it too. So I think they've got the right manager. He's from here. He wants it to be successful. He's seen it. He knows what motor operation here is in Milwaukee. He's known it for a long time, and he's willing to work. So what they got to do, Steve? They got to go out and sign all these jokers for a small fee. And coach them up and hope, that, like what you just said, they hit on some of these guys. Like Travis Shaw. Did we see Travis Shaw? I mean, at one point, what was the guy we traded down to Florida, the big guy that played first base?
Aguilar.
I mean, we thought, remember you were saying he was the cornerstone? Yep. But he had that kind of a year, though.
Had a huge year.
Right? Yep. So those are things that you got to be able to try to do is players that you don't think they can do well.
And see, and that's,
get on guys like that.
And that's the one thing that as Packer fans, you have to feel fortunate. Because if this setup was similar to Major League Baseball, Packers would be dead. Dallas Cowboys would be king. I mean, a lot of these teams would be in way better situations. The Giants, the Jets, even with their idiot front offices.
And in
you'd
the
be
NBA
able to overcome.
Well.
Because right, NBA too. Mm-hmm. Because you'd be able to overcome everything. So Major League Baseball will figure it out eventually. I don't know how long it's going to take before they get a hard salary cap. Eventually they will, and the sport will be better for it. But I just don't know how long it'll take.
Right. Well, and you're starting to see the types of taxes that they've put on teams is working as a little bit of a de facto cap. But when you have one that their absolute max is 130 and you're fighting to stay under 200 million, there's a major difference. And there's a lot more work, as Gary said, that you got to do. And it's just like on your golf game, you live in Florida, you can be golfing year round. That's just easy work. That's slight work if you're trying to shave two or three strokes off your game. But if you're living in Wisconsin where you're only playing outside 3-4 months a year, you got to put in the work in the off season.
You really do, Billy, because just because outdoor golf season might have already ended early, right? Don't put your clubs away just yet.
Don't do it.
You can keep your swing on at Wisconsin Indoor Golf Center.
Nice and fresh.
They have the latest state-of-the-art, high-definition golf simulators of all 100 leading courses like Pebble Beach, Doral, Pinehurst, and others. Get a foursome together for pizza, wings, and full alcohol bar, or make your office holiday party really special this year. Or you can keep your swing steady before, you know, it's snowing outside. I mean, you can go in, get your swing right, keep your practice down, and you're all in the comfort zone. On top of that, you can eat, drink, and be merry, guys. Don't let your golf swing go into hibernation. Keep it fresh at Wisconsin Indoor Golf Center. For details, check them out on Facebook or online at WisconsinIndoorGolfCenter.com.
We're live here down at the Brat Stop in Kenosha. Come on off Highway 50 and say hello. We're here with Kenosha Subaru and the Subaru Share the Love event, helping us be down here at 670 The Score as well. down in Chicago is broadcasting live. We're broadcasting live as well. We got Bears fans. We got Packers fans. And Steve Sparky Pfeiffer wants to see a few more Packers fans.
Packer fans.
I've never eaten
like here. 100 more.
I never have either.
I never eaten here, so I'm assuming what I'm going to eat. Brats? Is that what I'm having?
Everything's pretty good.
Can we get a menu over here? Because I'm going to try to scarf things down.
We're having brats, cheese. What we
got? I got burgers. I got whatever you want.
Kraut too.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Because I need some kraut on my brat. How do you decorate yours?
She's bringing menus.
I like
she
kraut.
Oh, here we
do
go.
Do we have a special thing there, young lady?
No.
She's gone.
Not for you.
I'm thinking they could have. Do you have a special brat that you make yourself, or you know? You got a special brat that I need to have, or what? The smoked Cajun. See, that's what I'm talking about.
That's what we're talking about.
What comes with that? Kraut comes with that, or what? Oh, red cabbage and coleslaw.
No, red cabbage. Do not do the red cabbage. Huh? We're sitting way too close.
Would I get fries with that,
cabbage,
or what I get?
Way too close to quarters.
All that? Oh,
one of them.
Okay. Or cheese curds under the ring. Okay. I'm going to get all
of it. All of it. I like that. Well, just order a couple of different entrees. Huh? We'll be all good.
You got to get that Miami Dolphin stuff off, though. I don't know what you were thinking about that, huh?
She's dreaming of warm weather. I think that's more of what it is, understandably.
Come back. Let me look at it. We'll think about it.
And we'll come back after we scarf down a little bit. We're down here at the Broad Stop. Thanks to Kenosha Subaru and the Subaru Share the Love event. We got a lot more of the Wendy's Big Show live until 6 at the Broad Stop after this.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.